well, well. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 3 of Kicking It with Kassar. My name's Eric Kassar. Thank you so much for listening to me live, if you're listening to me live. If you're listening to the archived version, thank you again for that. And we have a couple things to talk about today. We have to talk about the end of Michigan season, and we'll get into that in a little bit. We're also going to talk about your Lions. There's a lot to talk about, guys. They went into New Orleans in a hostile environment in a must-win game, and they came out untouched. So we'll get into that. That's definitely in the latter part of the show, no doubt about that. I also want to talk to you guys about something that hits us each and every winter. And it's not the snow. It's not the weather. It's the tradition slash culture, I suppose, that we kind of, it's a cultural conflict that we experience each and every December here in the United States, for the most part. If I sound terrible, I normally do, I know. But if I sound worse than what I normally do, I was dealing with like a throat cold a few days ago, and I was trying to fight it off in time for the show. I think I'm going to be okay. But if my voice starts to get raspy or if it starts to deteriorate throughout the show, that's what's going on. So just getting over that. You know, it's December. It's the crappy weather. And, you know, it sure is me right, because I walked into work the other day, and it was the day before I got sick, even though it's just a mild, mild little cold. And everyone that I was working with was sick. And I'm like, I told them out loud. I said, you know what? This is the time where my immune system kicks into overdrive, right? And it keeps me healthy and ready to go while everyone else gets sick. Well, look how that turned out. Serves me right for putting money on my immune system, and it failed me. Good thing I didn't actually put money on it. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. So dealing with that, I think I'll get through with it, and hopefully it'll be a good show. So I was at work, and we were having a discussion, and it was the whole Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas debate. And it's just difference in matter of opinion. I'm not saying everyone has to agree with me, and I'm not saying everyone has to disagree with me. I can take a stance. I can have evidence. I can have a good point of view. And at the end of the day, I'm not just simply being a snob and saying it should be this way because I say so. So if I can make a stance on something and be able to back it up and feel confident about how I feel, then that's just how I roll. If that's everyone's MO, great. If it's not, then however your prerogative is your prerogative. But anyway, we were talking about how you either greet somebody this time of year or you say goodbye to them this time of year. And one of my coworkers, and she's a sweetheart, okay, she says you need to say happy holidays because everyone gets included that way, okay? And while she's not wrong, I said, but in this country, we normally celebrate Christmas. I mean, look around you. You've got lights, you have songs, you have trees, you have decorations, everyone has something in their house. I mean, it's a common thing in this country that we celebrate Christmas. And I made a bet. Nothing was actually on it. But I said, I bet you 95% of Americans celebrate Christmas. Now, what does that entail? It simply means if you're doing any kind of anything on December 25th, you are a part of the holiday. And if you're not, then you're not part of that 5%. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to donate your time to the poor or volunteer. It's good if you do, of course. But if you are giving gifts, receiving gifts, spending time with friends or family on the 25th, if you're off work and you are watching Christmas specials on TV, you're part of the holiday. And I said, and she thought it was a lot lower than that. If she had to give a guess, she was going to say maybe 85%. And that would have been definitely lower than what I had would have imagined, based off a non-Googled outlook in the conversation, I definitely would have been like, you know, that's kind of low. I wouldn't have gone that low. But I said, I bet you if it's 3% over 95% or if it's 3% under 95%, then I bet you, then you know what? I have a case here, okay? And I have a reason for saying Merry Christmas. Well, I did some online looking. And while we're in the year 2016, about to be 17, there was a research conducted back in 2013. And it was by the 2013 Pew Research Center survey. And they interviewed adults of any kind. Didn't matter. As long as you're an adult, you were part of the survey. And they said that 9 in 10 Americans, or specifically 92%, nearly all Christians, 96%, say they celebrate Christmas. So 92% of general Americans, doesn't matter what you are, how you are, why you are 92% in favor of celebrating Christmas. Okay? And that survey also found that 86% of Americans buy gifts for friends or family as part of the celebrating the holiday. I guess that stat isn't as meaningful as the first one. But you have 92% of Americans who celebrate Christmas. Now, let me ask you this, guys. What was this country found off of? Okay? In layman's terms, it was founded off the majority. Okay? Now, let's talk about last month. And I know last month is a very sticky time for a lot of us, myself included. But again, in general terms, I know there's more specifics that goes into this. You don't need to tell me, okay, or blow us up on social media, but how was Donald Trump elected? Him and many other representatives of this country, statewide, nationwide, locally. Generally speaking, it was by the majority, right? Again, there's more technical things that went into this, the Electoral College. I get it. I know. But I'm just saying this country favors majority. Right? Am I out of line by saying that? So, am I a bad person if I tell someone Merry Christmas when 92% of us Americans celebrate that? And if you're in the 8% according to this survey, should you really get offended when you obviously know that you are in the minority? If you're Jewish and you celebrate Hanukkah, I mean, no bleep are you in the minority in this country. Are you kidding me? Look around you. Walk into a mall. Walk into even your friend's house. Odds are not all your friends are Jewish. Tell me what you see. Guys, Christmas is everywhere. From a marketing standpoint to a vacational standpoint, everyone looks forward to December 25th. Even from a public school standpoint. I remember going to school back in grade school, middle school, they called it Christmas break. Now it's called winter break. We got to make everybody happy. We have to make sure no one gets offended that you happen to have a two-week vacation during Christmas time because we all know why it's there for it. You're all there. You're all off because it's Christmas time. No kidding. That's why it's there. It's not winter break. It's Christmas break. There's a reason why they used to call it that. But now we got all political and we had to make sure everyone was happy, right? Everyone needs to be included. And I even said it during our debate at work where I said, you know, it's that whole everyone gets an award mentality. Everyone needs to be included. Now, I understand what she's saying. And she's a sweetheart for it. Everyone needs to be included and everyone needs to be thought of. I get it. Okay? She's not a bad person for thinking this. But I'm sorry, when you're in the minority of 8% out of 92, guys, it's not like I'm arguing over 60-40. It's not that close of a percentage. It's 92 to 8. I mean, this isn't even close, guys. Why am I going to say Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas? Because of the tiny 8% or around there that might not celebrate Christmas. Okay? And again, I don't really stick my nose into these kinds of topics, but I feel strong about this one. And I gave an example. I said, guys, what if someone asked you what the national language of the United States of America is? and she couldn't quite answer my question because she didn't know the answer. It's a trick answer. And unless it changed recently, we never had one. The United States of America never made it official that we have a language, an official solidified language in this country. However, if someone were to ask you, what do the majority of Americans speak in America, what would you tell them? It's English. It's not even close. Now, are you offending those who speak just Spanish? No. Are you insulting those who just speak French? No. Chinese? No. Japanese? No. You name it. It doesn't matter. It's the fact of the matter. In America, the vast majority of us do speak English. You're not putting down any other language. You're simply answering the question. So it's the same rule applies. If someone asks you, Eric, how many people, what's the biggest holiday there in December in America? Gee, am I really going to think about the 8% that might be other or the 92% that says Christmas? I'm going to say Christmas, right? So, it's just the way in which we work nowadays. Everyone needs to be happy. Everyone needs to be included. I'll tell you another thing. If I had told someone Merry Christmas, whether on the job or not, and they had responded back with Happy Hanukkah, guys, we're fine. I can't be in the right to be insulted by that. If I say happy or Merry Christmas to you and I get back a Happy Hanukkah, that makes me an absolute hypocrite and that wouldn't bother me. It's not a big deal. At the end of the day, it's like saying have a good day. But instead of saying have a good day, you're reserving have a good day for December 25th, however long it is at the time you say that sentence. It's not a big deal. And I wouldn't have a problem with saying happy holidays if we collectively weren't such a soft society. It is what it is. Okay? We are soft. Everyone gets offended. Everyone gets insulted. It is what it is. But I can't say happy holidays because I might upset someone who has sensitive feelings because they may or may not be a part of that 92%. Okay? If we lived in a world, at least a society, where they said happy holidays and no one made a gripe about whether they heard happy holidays or Christmas, I would say happy holidays. I probably wouldn't have an issue with it. But you know what? I'm sticking my nose in the ground on this one, and I'm tired of people getting so offended all the damn time. Okay? It's Merry Christmas in this country. It's not to offend anyone who doesn't celebrate it. It's not to put down anyone who doesn't celebrate it. 92%, guys, that's not even close. Again, back up some evidence as to why I should say happy holidays or I should hear it, and I'll listen, okay? I will genuinely listen. But this isn't even close. 9 out of 10 Americans over that celebrate Christmas, all right? Get with it, guys. And I'm sorry, it's just how I feel. The whole political correctness, the whole corporate crap, tired of it. Tired of it. And you know what? It gets annoying after a while. If I were an outsider coming into this country and I had to be, and I didn't necessarily follow everything they do, but I understood that not everyone celebrates what I do, you got to put up with that. Again, let's compare it to sports, right? I'm a Vikings fan. If I go into Ford Field when the Vikings play the Lions, I should expect to hear some trash talk from fellow Lion fan. I should expect to feel like an outsider. Look at what I'm wearing. I'm a purple Barney in Blue Crew crowd. Okay? You would need to expect that. You know, look at the Michigan-Ohio State game. You hear it every year. When Ohio State fans come up to Ann Arbor, their cars get trashed if they have an Ohio State license plate. Likewise with Michigan fan, when they travel down to Columbus. I mean, it is what it is, guys. You need to expect that. So don't get offended. Understand that it's not to offend anybody, but it's just to, we're just supporting the majority, and that's what this country is still about. At least I think. So that's what was on my mind, and it was a good debate. And I guess a rule of thumb is you don't talk that kind of stuff when you're on the job, unless you all collectively have the same feeling, in which then it's a positive conversation. But it probably wasn't appropriate, And we both walked away from each other a little irritated at each other. And again, I understand her point of view. And I hope if you're for her side saying happy holidays, I hope you can understand mine. And I hope that you can, you know, again, I'm thinking constructively. I'm a very stubborn person about how I feel about certain things. But I only reach that level when, again, I have evidence, I have facts, and I have confidence that what I'm saying is right. Then that's how I feel. You know, if I'm just some jerk that comes on the microphone that you guys look forward to hearing on Monday nights, thanks again for tuning in, by the way, and you hear me go, well, I think it's this, this, and that because I said so, and I have nothing else to back it up. Well, then I have no platform. I have no reason for you to believe me or listen to me. You know? So I guess, take it from me, we're in the beginning of December. We got a few more weeks till Christmas. You know, don't fall into the trap that I did. If someone says happy holidays, just let it go. It is what it is. You know, and if don't talk about that with your coworkers, because honestly, it's not good. It's not going to turn out well, and no one's happy. But I mean, if you're on her side, I'll tell you what, guys. I mean, you're getting your way. You know, if you're for my coworker's side who wants to say happy holidays, you're getting what you want. Everyone's conforming to it. Again, the school system is too, like I said. We went from Christmas break, that's literally what it was called each and every year, when we got our school calendar and every kid in the school circled the first day of that son of a gun because we couldn't wait, and it always said Christmas break. Always. Always. Now it's winter break. And now what they have is, sometimes, depending on when Easter falls, those kids get a few days off. We used to get like a week off during that Easter break, if I remember right. And that was called winter break because most of the time it was still cold out. I mean, you know, it was March, April. Snow may have not all melted and stuff. But now they call it winter break too. If they get like the weekend off, if they get like the Friday and the Monday off or like the Thursday, Friday of Easter, it's like winter break too. Like it's some sequel. And if that's the case, then it follows the movie industry just as well because the sequel sucks. You get 2 weeks off in Christmas, they call it winter break, and you get like 2 days off or 3 days off, they call it winter break too? Yeah, that's pretty crappy. So again, I mean, I hope you guys don't hate me for that. I really don't. You know, I don't leave people out in the cold just to do it. Just understand... Excuse me. Understand that the percentages are so overwhelming, this shouldn't even be a topic of discussion. And it's not to put anybody down. It's not to exile anybody or segregate anything. It's just the fact of the matter, just like how the language that we speak, what do people do more? We speak English and we freaking love our Christmas, man. We do. It's everywhere. And if you're the type of jackass that gets offended over Christmas lights, if you walk into an establishment and you see Christmas stuff, garland, lights, a tree, decorations, then you're a jerk. You need to find something to do. Go find a hobby, okay? Because if you're offended by that, this is what we do here, okay? Either suck it up or conform to it. Because I can't stand the people that get offended over that stuff too. It's ridiculous. I don't care if it doesn't apply to your religion, your culture, your way of doing things. It should have no bearing on it. Guys, they're lights. Look at them, don't look at them. It doesn't matter to us. Garland's supposed to be fun to look at and nice to look at. Since when do we have a problem with garland? You know? Guys, it's a Christmas tree. It's a fake tree that sits there. Odds are if you're going to a store and they don't sell Christmas trees, they're like the 3 feet kind ones. Guys, it's just a tree. What are we complaining about? Calm down. So understand something. When you're in the minority, you got to put up with that stuff. And if you can't, maybe this country's not for you. I'm just saying. Again, if you're that road fan going to a hostile environment, and you're going to complain about getting trash talked to, you know, then you don't go to the game. You stay at home and you watch it then. You know? It is what it is. You can't not expect to be the underdog or to be the odd man out and not feel it. Sometimes you will. And in this society, we've grown so tired of having people complain, we conform to those people. And we say, you know what? Fine. Because I'm tired of hearing the crying, we're just going to generalize everything to happy holidays. We're going to script Christmas break and call it winter break to make everybody happy. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. So that's how I feel. I hope you guys, again, agree with that. Or even if you disagree, understand, I'm a nice guy. I am. It's just, it is what it is. It is what it is. So let's talk about the Vikings and the Cowboys. I'm not going to spoil you. I'm not going to drown this out for you guys. I know you guys aren't Vikings fans like I am. However, you may have caught this game because it was a nationally televised game and it kind of impacts your Lions. You know, I said it last week in last week's show. You guys were going to know if we were going to win that game or lose that game going into New Orleans. You guys were going to know, hey, we're either a half game up or we're a game and a half up going into New Orleans. So it kind of matters to you guys. Now, currently the Vikings and Packers are 6-6. And the Vikings are technically in second place because they beat Green Bay back in week two. Pardon me, I'm starting to lose my voice. Here we go. But the Vikings game was a very close one. And it was one that I really expected to be close. I really thought the Vikings had a chance to upset them too. But again, it comes back to our offense. It is failing us. Our defense gets turnovers. One of them puts them on the 18-yard line of the Cowboys. We kick a field goal. I expect 31 other offenses to finish the drive and go score a touchdown, except for my Minnesota Vikings. And they proved me right. Our defense was lights out. They proved they can play with anybody if you can keep up with this Cowboys team. This young, powerful, kick, punch you in the mouth Cowboys team. And we hung with them. The only play we gave up that entire game for the most part was the Dez Bryant catch that brought them down to the 1 yard line. And Zeke's ran it in for one. 1 yard, well, 1 yard touchdown. Other than that, we shut them down. You know, Ezekiel Elliott had a few carries here and there. And then the bigster of that game was the two-point conversion at the end of the game for the Vikings to tie it. It was 17-15 with 4 seconds left. The Vikings finally had the drive they should have had back in the first half, and it came on the last drive of the game. And from the 2 yard line, we line up in the gun, McKinnon to Bradford's left, with a possible chance to run it in. I don't think they would have, but a possible chance to run it in, and we false start. Okay, move it back 5. We got to get 2 points from the 7 yard line. And Bradford gets hit in the mouth, there's no call, and the Vikings lose because they couldn't tie the game. Now, that was the headline we all talked about. That was it. Even our defensive end, Brian Robinson, who's a captain on this team, lit the refs up in the locker room after that. All because of one play. That's ridiculous. Now, defensively, I feel bad for these guys. I wish I could send every one of our defensive starters to another team that has a half-decent offense so they can win a title. They deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. Are they as good as they once were back in September, October? Hell no. But they kept us in the game. So the 7 points that Dez caught on that 10-yard when we fumbled the ball, we threw a pick. We muffed the punt. We muffed 2 punts in that game. On the first muffed punt, set the Cowboys up on our 10-yard line. And Xavier Rhodes is lined up one-on-one on Dez Bryant. He's like 7 yards off him when they only need 10 yards to score. And Dez catches the ball from the line of scrimmage and takes an outside release to score, which Xavier Rhodes took the worst angle, mind you, as I'm crediting our defense. But those 7 points out of the 17 we gave up is not even their fault. They were 10 yards out, guys. I mean, heaven forbid our defense gives up a score here and there. Jeez-o-peets, it's the NFL. It's going to happen. okay? So anyway, going back to the offensive possession for the Vikings, we finally go down the field, we finally put something together, we finally give ourselves a chance to tie the game, possibly win it and get our playoff chances right back in the mix of things, and Bradford gets hit in the face, and that's all we talk about. It's inexcusable. When Mike Zimmer went out for emergency eye surgery the night before, and he had to listen to the game live, we had our special teams coach, Mike Pfeiffer, in for interim. And our special teams and our offense failed us. Usually the Vikings, especially this year, are decent on one side or on two sides of the ball out of three. We're good on defense. We're pretty good on special teams. We have like our ups and downs on special teams. I'll get to that in just a moment. And we have a bad offense. On Thursday, our special teams failed us with two muffed punts, even though we went 3-for-3 with field goals. And our offense sputtered immensely all game long. It was inexcusable. All right? So before we go attacking the referees for their job, for what they called, what they didn't call, they called holding on multiple times on Dallas's explosive plays. Multiple times. I thought that was a fairly officiated game. Would I have called hands to the face? Yes, I would have. But I'm not going to sit here and harp the entire game off of one call. You had multiple drives, most of them in decent field position, and you couldn't convert more than 3 points all game long except for the end? That's hogwash. That's terrible. Our inconsistencies show each and every game. Our shortcomings show up at the worst time. And I'll tell you why we muffed that second punt by Cordero Patterson late in the game. We muffed it because when you have an inept offense that can't move the ball, those opportunities that you get on special teams, they're amplified. Why do you think you see Cordero Patterson returning every kickoff he ever gets? Because we have to hit home on those plays. Because there aren't many situations in our playbook where we can go deep or we have an explosive play on offense after the special teams play. So once we get that punt return, we need a hit home. We need a big gain because even when our defense gets a takeaway on the 18-yard line, we still can't match a touchdown. We can't come up with it. That's why Cordero Patterson fumbled that second punt. That's why that drive that took us down the field, got us 6 out of 8 points that we needed, almost never happened. It's because of your inconsistencies and your shortcomings on offense. That's why he had to field that. That's why he forced the return, and we were fortunate enough to get that ball back and still do something with it. So that's what got me fired up about the game, and that's why I'm so tired of people going after the refs all the time, even when a player does it. How about you don't fall start on the two-point conversion from the 2-yard line? You could have ran it in if you wanted to. Again, I don't think we would have, and I don't think that we would have gotten it had we had run the ball in, but it gives you the option. It gives you the choice. Now you're on the 7, you have... Everyone knows what you're doing. You're passing the ball. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the Vikings, out of 3 red zone opportunities, not once had a goal-to-go attempt. Not once. Except for the... actually, on the drive that we scored, we still never had a goal-to-go attempt. What does that mean if someone doesn't know what that means? It means we never had a first and goal, a second and goal. We were in the red zone, but we were never close enough to get that and goal attempt. That's how bad we were. And speaking of special teams, which is supposed to be good, as I said, how about your punter not average 32 yards a punt that game? It's bad enough your offense can't generate first downs. Don't average 32 yards a punt and expect your lights-out defense to save you around midfield each and every time. They played a damn near perfect game against a very strong, powerful offense. And again, the 7 points that they gave up on the 10-yard line to start the drive isn't their fault. And they limited that Cowboys team to really 10 points. I mean, it was a mockery out there. Rookie receiver Laquon Treadwell finally got some field time. And on a third down in one of our red zone attempts in the first half, he attempted to run a comeback route. Bradford tries to hit him around 7 yards out, and he's running too far. He doesn't know where the sticks are at. We throw an incompletion. Why are we letting a rookie receiver run a crucial route on a crucial down to keep the drive alive? Makes no sense to me. I mean, you got Stephon Diggs. You got Charles Johnson, who decided to drop a second and 18, backed up in your own 10-yard line early in the game. But, you know, no Vikings players complaining about the refs. We'll talk about that. One of your veteran receivers, even though he's still on the younger side, drops a sideline catch for a first down. I mean, we had plays. We had opportunities. We ran the ball decently well. Asiata had a few decent carries. I was kind of shocked. But they failed. And that allowed Dallas to hang around, rebuild the lead. We actually had the lead at one point. Felt great. Then we muffed the punt. Thanks, Adam Thielen. Too many mistakes, too many turnovers, not enough conversions. That's the Vikings season. So with that said, the Lions went into New Orleans knowing they were up a game and a half. And that transitioned to what the Motown Lions did. They took care of business. They won in dominating fashion, and they destroyed them. I've never seen a game like that in a long time about the Lions. And I said this since my pilot episode. The Lions needed that win with conviction victory. They needed that. From the beginning of the season to now, you've now won 2/3 of your games, and you finally have one of them that you can say, that's what we're capable of. That's what our fans have been waiting for. That's what we know what we can do. Hey, guys, we're in December now. That was a good time to have that win. Your defense was incredible. You dictated the line of scrimmage. You made Drew Brees highly frustrated. He didn't go deep because he couldn't, and you guys tackled. I can't remember the last time this defense had that much leadership, consistency, and they played for one another. On a defense that has no pass rush, little to no, they didn't get a sack last night. You guys have no linebackers. Josh Bynes was banged up in the middle of the game. And your secondary was unbelievably awesome. That's how you win that kind of game. And the Lions offensively, I was pleased. Stafford was awesome. As a whole, it was a decent game. Golden Tate made some awesome plays. Stafford hung in when he had to most. And the Lions converted the big play on both sides of the ball. However, tip your hat to 5-for-5 for field goals by Matt Prater, because he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. And that's what a championship team has. You want to talk about offense, you want to talk about defense, you want to talk about specific players on either side of the ball, that's fine. Get yourself a lights-out kicker like the Lions have, to where you can move the ball inside the 40 and you know you've got points, and that changes all dimensions of the offense. It changes everything. Absolutely everything. It makes everyone on that 11-man unit more calmer. Because they know I don't need to force a ball down the field. I don't need to run a risky route into coverage. I don't need to hold a guy a second longer for my quarterback. I don't need to convert every third down once we're inside the 40. I know we have a chance at a field goal. And that helps the play calling, the players, the execution. Everyone just kind of calms down. There's not as much pressure. And I'll tell you one thing. for a quarterback who game in and game out is feeling the pressure of every single game, where every Lion fan I ever hear, almost every, says, well, if the Lions lose, there goes their season. Green Bay or Minnesota's catching up to them. And I'm sure it's getting into his head, but it's not letting him affect his play. And for him to go out each and every game, make great decisions, be on par with all of his reads, make great presence in the pocket, the guy has been amazing. This is the Stafford we've been looking for. This is the Stafford that makes reads, is smart with the football, especially in the red zone. This guy is finally someone I can subscribe to. I didn't have faith in him when Calvin retired. I had little faith in this Lions team in general with no running game, and I figured Stafford would struggle because of the absence of number 81, and he has been awesome. And I'll be the first to tell you, I apologize. I was wrong. Now, I do believe some of that's Jim Bob Cooter, but I know most of that is Stafford. Bob Cooter can call a hell of a game all he wants. Stafford is taking this offense down the field in crucial time and making plays. That's awesome. You really can't coach that. You can call whatever play you want. Your quarterback's got to execute. And he's done so. He's been awesome. So with that said, the Lions did what they had to do. I'm so impressed by this Saints win. They had to go into a hostile environment against a 5-6 Saints team, and they came out on fire. They were so good. In fact, I didn't even know if I was going to bother talking about this game on my show. It's kind of like parent-teacher conferences, right? Whether you have a kid, if you're listening, or remember when you were a kid, if you were doing good in school and you had no behavioral issues and your mom or dad went to PTC and the teacher goes, well, your son or daughter's doing just fine. I have nothing to say. Well, then there's no reason for me to even be there, right? That's kind of how I felt about this game. I'm like, damn, should I even bring up the Lions? I mean, I know that they had a great game, but it's like, what's there to say? They went into New Orleans. They dominated the game throughout the entirety of it. They didn't allow any big plays by Drew Brees. He never threw a touchdown pass, which snapped his 61 straight game home streak. I mean, it's like, what's there to say? You guys were awesome. I'll come onto this microphone and I'll bitch about what I need to complain about. There's nothing to say. Stafford was great. Defense was even better. Matt Prater was even better. My God. It just gives us a glimpse of what we can look forward to in a month from now. You still got a month left. You've got a beatable Bears team that's still without their quarterback, their best offensive lineman, Chris Long, and Alshon Jeffrey serving his last game of his 4-game suspension. That's very winnable. There's no reason why you can't follow that Saints game up with the Bears game at home. Go get revenge in week 3, I think it was, and go get your win against Chicago. All right? But, again, we still got some tough games. We got at the Giants. We have at Dallas on Monday Night Football. And I might do something special for that show. Maybe we'll just dissect the entire game. We'll see what happens. But you got at the Giants. You got at the Cowboys. Then you got versus Green Bay. Now, I don't have much faith in Green Bay. I have more faith in Green Bay than my Minnesota Vikings because they have a quarterback. But with that said, they've won 2 in a row. They beat a bad Eagles team on Monday Night Football against a makeshift offensive line and a rookie quarterback. Okay, they only gave up 13 points in that game. Then they went home versus Houston yesterday in the snow. Chicago got snow too. And we got some last night too. It's coming. But we had the game in Green Bay, and they looked decent enough. I think if they were on the road, they'd probably lose to Houston because Aaron Rodgers made some big, big mistakes in that game, and the defense did just enough turnovers and takeaways to win the game. But hey, again, if we're going to give credit to the Lions for winning a bunch of games close, I'm going to give credit to the Packers too. They've won 2 in a row. So both Vikings and Packers are 6-6. And the Packers beat the Lions. Okay? So while the Vikings are by technically in second place, the Packers are not 2.5 games behind the Lions. They're 1.5 games back. And if they beat the Lions come week 17, which it is in Ford Field, so home advantage Detroit. However, there's no weather to have to deal with, and that makes the Packers offense better too. That could be a tough game come week 17, and we might be fighting for the division. So, give or take, we'll see what happens. But I'm telling you right now, as my good buddy Gerald, my good buddy Gerald hands me some water, because I sound like I've been smoking for 20 years. Give me 1 second, everybody. Oh, man. Whew. Give me 15 more seconds, guys. All right. I knew my voice was going to be shaky, but Gerald with my wingman over here, which you can hear his show tomorrow with Mac and Candela at 10:30, came in through with the clutch with an ice cold cup of water. Thank you, my man. But anyway, so the Lions still have some business to take care of, but there's no question they're in the driver's seat. And I also wonder how far they can go and what impressions they can make on this bad NFC conference and where they can finish at the end of the season when all's said and done. You know? You guys should be very excited, because if Seattle goes into Green Bay, and I kind of wonder who you're rooting for at that point, because if you're rooting for the seeding, you're pulling for Green Bay, but if you're rooting for the divisional cushion, you're pulling for Seattle. If I were a Lion fan, I would say pull for Green Bay. You guys have a winnable game against Chicago. That'll annul a Green Bay victory, and that puts you in the second seed in the NFC race. It's exactly what you want. You know? So this weekend should be fun. I as a Lions fan, I wouldn't expect my Lions, your Lions, to play down to the competition of the Bears. Smoke the living hell out of them, for God's sakes. I mean, will you please? You know, there's no reason why you can't win this game this Sunday. There's absolutely no reason. I saw a stat, too. And you know how the Bears are bad on defense. They're bad all around. That's why they're a 3-9 football team. But I saw a stat that Golden Tate is 8-1 when achieving 100 yards or more. This season, not dating back to 2015, 13, yada yada. No. This season, Golden Tate and the Lions are 8-1 when Golden gets his money. 100 yards or more. I expect a big day out of Golden Tate. I really do. This is a defense that is struggling. They looked decent against the Niners, but my God, I mean, it's the Niners on the road against a snowy Chicago team. I mean, come on. There's no reason why that needs to happen. Okay? The Bears are 31st in the NFL in points per game on offense. They only average 16.2. And it's terrible. They don't... I bet you the Vikings are 32. I wouldn't be surprised. They have 16 giveaways the entire season. The Lions should feast on this. And you know what? I thought about this too going back to the Saints game. You guys do not force enough fumbles. Now, there comes a give-and-take relationship with that. You'll notice defenses that strip the ball a lot, miss a lot of tackles, and go for a lot of risky plays. Now, the Lions lead the league in fewest missed tackles. That's an awesome stat to own. You guys should be proud of that. You guys should continue that. However, it would be nice just every once in a while to see a linebacker or a cornerback for the Lions go for the ball. Just generate a few turnovers. The Lions had 3 picks on Drew Brees. One of them was a garbage interception to end the game on that terrible game-ending drive by the Saints where they didn't even try, and Drew Brees threw a bad one. So if you scrap that pick away, you guys had two picks. I would like to see you guys get more forced fumbles. Generate a few more turnovers, you know? I like what the defense is doing. I have no issue with it. And you guys have been fantastic. There are multiple, efficiency-wise, you guys are not very good. But in specific statistical breakdowns of the NFL game, you guys are pretty good in some areas. So I'm not saying what you guys are doing is wrong. I would just like to see them be a little more optimistic, a little opportunistic, you know, and go for the ball just a little bit more, because opportunities are bound to happen. And I expect that to be that way when Chicago rolls into town. I would like to see Terrell Austin and even Jim Bob Cooter run a few risky plays. You know, like, if the time is right, run like a blitz that you don't know if it's going to hit home. Run some tests, you know? You never know what you're going to get. But you're playing a bad Bears team. Maybe if there's something that you guys want to try, like even a wildcat or something, try it on them. They're 3-9. Anything's bound to work. I'm sure of it, you know? The Bears average 6.5 penalties a game. It's not good football. It's not good, guys. I don't have the yardage per game, but 6.5 penalties, that's big. That's what bad teams do. And the Lions don't take many penalties either. I mean, the Lions are favored in many statistical areas in this game. Should be a lot of fun. Now, we have 13 minutes left in the show. Let me take a hit of this water real quick. Okay. We got 13 minutes left. I want to touch briefly on Michigan and just the general college championship games that took place last weekend. Most were good games. Some were kind of blowouts. Like Washington. Washington dominating Colorado 41-10, and it wasn't even close. I mean, that was pretty disappointing. But you had Western beat Ohio in a thriller. Western was up big. Ohio comes screaming back, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? But Western pulled it out. So happy for them. They have Wisconsin, and that should be an interesting game. I'm not breaking down too many bowl games right now. I'm not doing that yet. We have 3 weeks until, almost a month until they start. I'll touch on that maybe next week or something, but that should be an interesting game. I really expect Western to keep it close. I wouldn't anticipate a blowout from Wisconsin. And I hope, for the MAC purposes, Western wins. Western has a lot riding for them. There's a lot of people pulling for Western. Even if you're not a Bronco fan. They are the little guys in a big boy tournament. And they found themselves in the Cotton Bowl versus Wisconsin. I mean, that should be a great game. I really hope they play up to the magnitude of that level of the game. But, you know, after watching these college games, you realized Michigan has no shot. And again, if you listened to my show last week, they shouldn't have. And I had no issue with it. Your season ended in Columbus. It didn't end when Washington beat Colorado. It didn't end when Clemson barely beat Virginia Tech. Okay, it didn't end after the result of the Penn State-Wisconsin game. It just didn't. Your season ended in Columbus. You lost two of your last three. You ended the season. And it's quite disappointing. And even though Michigan has a decent bowl appearance, it's still disappointing on what could have been. This defense was too good not to make the top four. Offensively, they had enough playmakers to compete, at least. I mean, they blew teams out each and every week, and then you hit the month of November, and we fall apart. So I'm not going to sit here and cry about, oh, it could have been, the NCAA screwed us, they got it wrong. I'm glad they put Penn State over us. They just beat a top-five team in the championship, or a top-10 team in the championship game. And they came back down, they came back like 28-7. That was unbelievable. That was a thriller of a game. Gus Johnson on the call, no less, for the game for the Big Ten title. And he was awesome, as he always is. You know he brings the energy each and every time he takes the microphone. I love that guy because of it. And some people feel that they should have got Penn State in there. It's tough for me. You know, maybe you don't lose to a Pitt team. Maybe you don't get blown out by Michigan by that much. And, you know, again, I get it. I feel for those guys. I felt kind of bad for them. I mean, I felt good and bad. You know, they overcame that huge deficit in the title game. But, you know, they rallied up off 9 in a row. But I did feel kind of bad for them. You know, they really tried to make their case, and they did it with emotion. You almost felt like you were rooting for them. And in some ways, I may have. You know, but I think James Franklin is he's a great role model for that program, and I'm happy to see him kind of come back after all those after the Joe Paterno incidences and investigations and accusations. It's nice to see programs come back from that. You know, I mean, at some point or another, it's good to see the kids smile again and see where they're at and how they're doing. But I was kind of pulling for Penn State at for a little bit there too. You know, I mean, they were just the team everyone was pulling for, I thought. And I think in some ways they may have deserved a bid in that bowl appearance in the college football playoff. But you know what? You avoid a Bama team by not getting in, and you have a real chance to win your bowl game. And again, we'll talk about the bowl appearances and the bowl matchups and maybe even predictions or projections later. It won't be tonight, not only because of time, but I just don't want to talk about it this early in December. Let's wait a few weeks and we'll see where we're at. But once again, if you're joining me, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for making me a part of your week. Whether you're listening live or archived, hopefully I get better by next week and my beautiful voice comes out so I don't sound like I've been smoking for 25 years. I'm sure it will. But don't forget, if you are loving what you're hearing, then do not forget to turn in to tomorrow's show, as I had spotlighted earlier when my buddy Gerald gave me some water, in the clutch, no less. The Mac and Candela show is going to be every Tuesday night at 10:30. And on Wednesdays, you have John and Paul, Wednesdays at 5. Then after that, you have the BS podcast with Ben Smith at 9. You have Thirsty Thursdays with Nick Butler at 10:30. And that's about it, all we have for now. Check us out on Twitter. We are on Twitter at MIPREPTOPROS. That is Michigan, short for Prep to Pros. Check us out on there. We are constantly posting on there. Be sure to always check back on Facebook. We do have a group. It is called, let me get the name for it here. It is MI space PRTO space PROS sports. And that's where you'll find most of us. We're constantly blogging on there. We're constantly talking on there. It's a nice little group. We talk sports there all the time. So don't miss any information from doing that as well. But again, just thank you for listening. And you know, I don't say it enough. Thank you for Lawrence Tech and State Champs for allowing us to do this. This is my third episode in. I've had a blast doing this so far. I hope you guys have enjoyed the content that I've given so far. What they've allowed us to do is really awesome. So, you know, we spotlight each other's podcasts a lot. We talk about Michigan Prep to Pros and our brand label, but we don't give the institution that allows us to come in here and use one of their buildings every week for our shows respectively enough credit. So thank you to Lawrence Tech. Definitely appreciate it. We love you guys for it. It has been fun for me as I get a lot of practice doing this and getting a feel if I'm good at this or not, and I can build my following this way. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. I guess what we'll do is we'll talk real brief. We have 5 minutes left. We'll finish it up with The Walking Dead. We'll just touch on it real quick. So again, if you have not seen it yet and you don't want to be shocked, go ahead and just sign me out right now. I will talk to you guys next week on Monday at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening. But if you watched it and you want some reaction, we're going to give it to you in a few minutes right here. So This is a spoiler warning starting now. So, Carl proved to everybody that he's pretty much the coolest guy on the face of the planet as he went Rambo style in Negan's camp. He kills two guys, right? Negan takes him in, shows him around, gives him the tour, you know, of what they do and how they do things. And then at the end of the episode, he goes back to Alexandria, and I couldn't even imagine the look on Rick's face once he was holding Judith. And thankfully, that didn't have to happen this episode. But it got me thinking, with Aaron and Rick scavenging, what they're going to find and how it's going to be like when they return. Because we have the preseason mid... The mid-season finale, an hour-and-a-half episode next week, this week on Sunday. I can't wait for it. And it looks like it's going to be another cliffhanger, suspenseful kind of episode that'll get us through until February when they pick back up. But I thought it was a good episode. I love the hour and a half. The hour and a half episode, the extra half hour is like the extra hour when we turn back the clocks on that Sunday of daylight saving time, you know, or at least to end daylight savings time. You know, it feels awesome. You get that bonus time, and I love it. But Carl really showed a lot to us in this episode, and we always kind of knew what he was, but he really made it stand out last night on that episode. Just a ballsy guy, knows what he wants. I get sick and tired though sometimes of The Walking Dead holding a character far too long than they need to. Like, if you were to put it in real life instances, you know, like when Carl shot those two guys in the big big hauling trailer, and he goes, all I want to do is see Negan and shoot him. No one else needs to die. And there goes Negan walking across the dirt road, and Carl has a gun in his hand. He could absolutely just take him out. Now, he would die too, but if that's all he wanted, then he should have shot him. And obviously you would have known, hey, once I shoot this guy, my life's over. I'm going in, I'm ambushing their territory, taking out their leader, no less. Obviously, I'm going to die. But they don't. And obviously, I know why. I don't need anything explained to me. But it's like, if you had full intention on shooting someone and going into their territory and taking them out, you were going to do it. There's no contemplating that. There's no reasoning. Once you made that mind up, you give your life up to take someone out. And even on Negan's point of view, Carl shot two of your guys, and you're not going to kill Carl? Like, come on, he just shot two of your guys. And probably guys you valued, I'm assuming. 90. But you let him free? Like, you just let him keep walking? He's living, breathing? I just feel like, you know, if this were real life, I would just wish they would have the intentions of, you know, of not necessarily a show, but real life, you know? They don't always do that. And I wish they would. It to me, takes kind of the genuine feeling out of the show. And it's not just The Walking Dead, it's any episode of any show that always pulls that crap. Obviously they can't die, otherwise everyone loses their heads and ratings go out the window. I get it, it's a business. But next week should be fun. We'll probably talk about the preseason finale, the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, because you know bleep's gonna happen and we're gonna talk about that, I'm sure. So, I got less than a minute, guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always. I hope you root your Lions on. I hope that they play I hope they play better than what they're supposed to. I hope they kick the crap out of a bad Bears team that has no reason to play anymore. And that's about it. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope these episodes are getting better, even though my voice today wasn't. And we will talk to all of you later. So, have a good night. Have a good week. And I guess I'll say Merry Christmas.